With that, I'm going to move on to formation of a housing task force. This agenda item was requested by Member Mucci. Consideration the formation of a housing task force discussion to include proposed guidelines, goals, and objectives. And there's a, in the package, there is a list of the things that Member Mucci would like to see looked at. I can't particularly find it offhand here.
I couldn't find it.
It's on page 88.
And with that, do I have a motion to for the formation of a housing task force?
So moved.
Second.
Motion was made by Member Mucci, second by Member Martin. In discussion. Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, several months ago we talked about this and you asked me to come back with some guidelines and some goals and objectives, and I have done that, and I just wanted to see if we wanted to move forward with this or just move on to something else. So that's what they're there for.
Discussion? Member Valentine.
I just have a question on making a task force. Does this include public or does it have to be assembly-driven? Oh, I mean, clearly assembly-driven and led, but does this mean that people from the public become part of the task force? Is that how this works?
Yeah, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, what it would be is to put out a, would be a request to anybody who wants to serve on a housing task force, which we had before, we had at one time, we had a housing task force. And so, but then you would have to determine then what specifically you want them to do, what the length of time is, et cetera, and beyond. It was part of it. Member Newman.
Yeah, well, we had a housing task force, and we spent a lot of money for a company to evaluate or assess the local needs of our community. They came out with a study, and I just feel like that entire process was pretty exhaustive. So I'm just curious what the rationale is to reconsider doing it again. Like, has there been any significant changes in the community or economy? What's the rationale for revisiting all this?
Member Mucci?
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, for me, that is one of the biggest things I hear about every day when I'm wandering around town is housing, housing, housing. We've got we got the Klinkethatta House subdivision coming in. We have the Skylark coming in. We're going to be having to make some decisions about how we're going to sell those properties up at Klinkethatta. We're going to have to look at some long-term, you know, forecasts for the community about making sure that we have enough housing for workforce housing, senior housing. You know, I laid it out in here. You know, for me, this doesn't have to be everything that we talked about, but I just put down some things that were important to me and things that I've heard about, and I'm fine one way or the other if the Assembly doesn't think there's a need to kind of continue this like a working group for folks in the community who are interested in it. I hear people all the time about asking me, what's happening with the task force that they're working? And I say, well, you know, it's just a process, and I've got some guidelines and suggestions here for a working group, and I think we'd have to figure out how long it would be, and I don't want it to be open-ended. I want folks to have an idea of, they have a timeline to get us some recommendations, but I think there's some really smart people in the community who could really help us address some of the issues in town. So that's kind of why.
Member Valentine?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not, you know, in disagreement that there is, you know, having a group that's more dedicated to just one subject. I mean, that's what, it's nice that we don't always have to, we have somebody who specializes and give us the information. I get that. As a person who just bought a house, I mean, I think that affordability is more of the issue than anything, because if we have these new subdivisions coming up, I would probably say that this would be better after that comes. Just because then if people aren't buying, okay, well, now there's a different issue. If we have this new subdivision that's supposed to be this affordable area and the Klickit and Haida, and we have these drawings for the one over on Ballfield, let's wait to see those come in and then actually see, like, the trends of, like, my age or younger if they're going to purchase, what are the reasons they're not purchasing. I can probably guess on a couple of them because I am part of one right now, you know, affordability on a house that's 50 plus years old, you know, things like that. But I like the idea, but at this moment, I don't think it's needed right now. Thank you.
Member Schwartz.
Well, buying an existing house is a lot different than developing land and building or bringing in a modular. And maybe it could be as simple as, I know some developers that are more retirement, I hate to keep bringing that up, but have time. And if they were willing to not cost us money and volunteer some time and be part of a task force to say, hey, you need these permits, you need to talk to this person about this, this is how you go about getting a loan, these are the loans that are available. For a 25, 30, 35-year-old, 40-year-old who's never gone through those steps, it can be intimidating, especially if you're working 8-10 hours a day. Maybe it's as simple as that. Step one, step two, step three, here's the contacts. You know, I don't know, I'm just kicking in a little bit there. I've never built a house. I sure looked into it. I just bought existing homes, and it was a lot simpler than developing land and building a house. Thank you.
Okay. Member Stanton, Gregor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And also just a brief thank you to Member Valentine. Although I'm a few years older than yourself, you hit some of the notes I was going to say. This is a data point. There was a meeting on January 7th when Liz Cabrera gave us what I thought was a thorough walkthrough on the current state of housing coming down the pipeline, et cetera, in Petersburg. And I think, as you said, Member Valentine, it would be prudent at this point to let some of those things play out a little bit before we jumped back into the housing task force field. Obviously, I'll support whatever the will of the assembly is, but I think right now we've got some things coming down the pipeline. It'd be good to let some of those things take fruit and let some of the projects take hold and go from there. So I'll be voting no today, not because I have any aversion to housing task force or anything of the sort, but I think we need to let the current process get a little bit of traction so we can accurately assess. Thank you.
Okay, Member Martin.
Thanks. Jeff asked me to come up with some names because I've been bugging him about this and a lot of you since I got on here, but I think it was to test whether there was interest. And I contacted a diverse group of people and they were almost all interested. They had ideas. A lot of people don't think we're doing anything. That was a great work session in January, but I would disagree with the Vice Mayor. I don't think much, the public perception is that nothing was done since then. And if we had a task force, I wish it was still present, but I would task them with many things to help vet ideas and percolate them through more minds than we have right here with a half hour, maybe once every 3 months we give the issue. So I'm in support of this.
Member Newman?
Yeah, I would seriously disagree with that comment because in the last 3.5 years that I've been on the assembly, I feel like the borough has taken great strides in incentivizing and advocating and helping to develop, you know, with and collaborating with Clinton Haida and Skylark. There's multiple places we considered every, you know, low-hanging fruit of the available borough properties to list them, and we've done that, stubbed in utilities to these places, and we've considered every option available and have taken this seriously and not lightly. So if people think that we're not doing enough, I don't know what more we can do.
Other comment from assembly members?
I just wanted to clarify that I meant since the January housing work session. I agree there's been a lot done, but I feel like we're still in progress.
Other comments from the assembly? Okay, I remember, you know, one of the things I wanted to do was to look at the housing situation, what we've done and where we've gone. And I will give Director Cabrera a lot of kudos for the report she provided for us. But you also remember that we, the assembly and the staff, you know, had a work session. We came up with, I believe, three or four options that we asked staff to go back and look at. However, since then, we've had, staff hasn't had a time. You know, we've had dealing with things like the cell tower ordinance and the budget and a whole bunch of other things. We haven't got it done. I like the idea of a housing task force, but I think the timing's not there from my own perspective. I think we need to allow the staff to go back and do the things that we talked about and then come back with us, number one. But number two, I think we also need to, when I was in Juneau, I had a chance to talk with the Housing Finance Corp folks and the financing, and something that Member Valentine, I think, talked about earlier was the funding of these and where do you find the fundings and what do you do? I think there's more work to be done there, but it's one of those things that isn't going to be done overnight. We got to look at it, I think, in terms of the amount of staff time we have to be able to do all these things we have on the docket. So I'm in favor of the and union contract, yeah. I'm in favor, but I like the idea, but I think we also need to, the last time we held one, I want to go back, is the Recreation Task Force we did. They came up with an absolutely wonderful report. This has been years ago. But yet, we never did anything with it. We didn't give it the direction we needed, and we haven't really honestly followed through. And I would say the same thing with the recommendations out of our housing task force. You know, we spent quite a bit of money. We had that. And I would prefer us to use a task force when we can really define exactly what we want them to do. But I think we need to let the staff, from my perspective, do their homework first. With that, I agree with the idea. I just don't think it's timely right now. With that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Lind?
No.
Vice Mayor Stan Gregor?
No.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
No.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
No.
Member Newman?
Okay, and the motion to form a task force fails with 5-2 with Member Mucci and Member Martin in favor. With that, I'm going to move on. All the correspondence is in the packet, and I'm not going to go through any of that. But I am going to move on. I think there's discussion items on tonight's agenda, and I believe first item on here is the Arctic Security Cutter home port consideration. All the items on here were asked for by Member Mucci. And with that, discussion regarding the potential for Petersburg to consider as a home port location for one of the 11 Arctic Security Coast Guard cutters. Discussion to include whether any formal outreach or expression of interest with the Coast Guard has occurred and the borough's level of interest in pursuing this opportunity. With that, I'll turn it over to Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing about, you know, possibilities of home porting a icebreaker here. And I was talking to Sebastian back in Washington, D.C. about possibilities of different things for the community. And he mentioned this Arctic Security Cutter home port consideration. And a process that is involved in that. And I didn't get a clear signal from him or a message from him whether or not we were moving forward with that. I've seen resolutions in Wrangell and in Sitka about Coast Guard opportunities that are going on. And I just wanted to make sure that, I guess I just wanted to understand if we were in that process of one of those 11 Arctic Security Coast Guard cutters to possibly be home ported in Petersburg.
Through the mayor, I can speak to it. So I have been talking with Sebastian. And just to make everybody's clear, the Arctic Security Cutter are icebreakers. It's a different word for the same thing. They're building two right now. The others are not even budgeted at this point. They require a deep water port, which Petersburg does not have. Okay. Sebastian recommended that we keep doing what we already were doing, which is GLOW did a wonderful report on attracting, number one, keeping the buoy tender, because they have a whole new design for buoy tenders coming up, and we need to make sure that that is big on our list, as well as GLOW's been working with Coast Guard engineers on making sure not only can the buoy tender fit, but lighthearted conversations, but conversations nonetheless about, you know, the Coast Guard putting one of their cutters in the Narrows, and why can't we home port one here? So it's far more feasible for us to get another cutter plus a buoy tender than it is to try to get a 330-foot icebreaker that we really don't know where would fit in our harbor. Sebastian agreed with that. He says the reason Wrangell's in doing it is because they got a whole big development on a deep water port that they're working on, and same with Ketchikan. The Coast Guard wants to double these up at a minimum, meaning when they put a Coast Guard an icebreaker at a location, they want to put another one there, not just one spread out a bunch of places. Because Juneau probably has the best chance because they've already announced the Stennis. I think Stennis? Thank you. Staris. Yeah. Thank you. Is already called out for being in Juneau. Likely that's where the second one will go, although they're looking hard at Kodiak as well as potentially Seward. Because those are so big and they have very large crews and maintenance requirements, smaller communities like Petersburg would have a very difficult time, according to Seb, because we just don't have space for them, not only in the harbor, but also housing. So at this point, Seb said our best chance would be when they get past the first two and they start having a budget for these others that they've talked about and clearly just talking about. They're all being built in Finland, by the way, because the Finns know how to build icebreakers, and that's why it's moving as quickly as it is. But he said our better chance would be to get Scow Bay Harbor, the harbor, you know, get that funded, and, you know, where, and then decide as part of that design process, do we want to make room for a ship that big, or do we want to go after smaller cutters that make probably a little more sense for Petersburg? That's a local decision, you know, at that point. So that was a conversation with him towards the tail end of last week.
Thank you.
Other comments? Member Martin?
Just want to remind everyone that in November we had Senator Sullivan in a conference here with us, and he said, bring us your requests. He was very excited about his One Big Beautiful Bill and the Coast Guard opportunities, and I'm not sure we've quite got on record like Wrangell and Sitka and Ketchikan and Juneau as far as... Could you describe that more, how we have done that?
In 2022, we presented to the Coast Guard Admiral up in Juneau when he passed through, and we've had the Secretary of Defense and everybody through here numerous times, and we redid that, and Mayor Bob and Steve and I sat and pitched it again to the 10-year planning up in Juneau about 2 months ago, just letting them know our future, and they are included in it. And as well as when our representative Begich was here, we took him on a big tour showing him the future, as well as Mayor Bob and I drove him by the housing to prove to him that there is housing sit there with snow on their front steps because there's nobody living in some of the housing here. You know, so to prove that we have space to support some of these smaller vessels. And so I think I'm on record probably about seven times last week with the planning group just promoting Petersburg and the next 10 years of how we can support through these projects that we are, you know, we've put money where our mouth is. We've got a lot of planning already on in place, so.
But that's good to hear about it. Yeah. The other communities must feel there's some value in a resolution or something. That maybe that's a useful thing also.
We could produce a resolution if you think that would help. And
let's think about it.
Any other comments, Member Mucci?
No, thank you.
Okay, I'll move on to the second item here, which is on the former South Mitkoff Ferry Terminal. Again, discussion asked for by Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just heard in conversations talking to people in Wrangell and other people that work for us, is there any talk about using the South Mitkoff Ferry Terminal for to put it to use in the future, or is that just going to sit out there and be a swallow nest haven? I'm just trying to sort out where we're going with that, if it's going to be part of a Wrangell future harbor, or I just wanted to, I get asked a lot about that.
I've asked, talking to the DOT, which that South Mitkoff terminal is under, I have asked the Southeast manager.
South Coast, sorry.
A number of questions of which they haven't got back to me. One of them is that could Petersburg actually take ownership of it? I don't know the answer to the question. Second question I ask him is could we, if we took ownership of it or it was given to us, does that eliminate the state from having the need to pay the back to the feds, which is still on the docket? How much, in other words, would they not have to pay it back if they were to transfer it to us? And then could we then go back to something that our harbor master has asked, could we use parts of that for other uses? And I don't know, and I've asked all these questions about 3 weeks ago. I don't have any answers to that. He promised to get back to us, and that's about as much as I can tell you. The other one that was brought up since then was whether or not you could actually put some kind of a Coast Guard facility there. And I don't know, that's yet to, another discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, move on to the next item here. Power and light ordinances, discussion on large commercial users. Discussion regarding potential updates to the power and light ordinances as they relate to large commercial users, including but not limited to data centers and other high volume consumers of electricity.
Thank you. And thanks everybody for their patience. This is more important than a lot of stuff that I talked about tonight, but during our discussions about the data centers and the cell towers, it's occurred to me, and I think it's occurred to a lot of people in the community, that we don't have any real parameters on any of our ordinances to prevent a large commercial user from coming into town and doing what they want without any guidelines. And when I talked to Steve Harbor and Carl last week, they were already working with the city attorney to start working on changing the ordinances so that there was more control with the borough of Petersburg. And, I could talk a little bit about it, but if it's okay, I'm sure Steve Harbor or Carl could talk about it, but this is not something that's going to happen overnight. It's going to be a summer-long project between going back and forth to the city attorney and to borough staff. And if I could, maybe Steve or Carl could kind of fill us in on how that process works and how it's going to be addressed, please.
Mayor, it's very complicated, to say the least. But I'll give you the broad strokes of the direction I'm going down. Right now we have residential rates, we have harbor rates, we have general service and large commercial. And to give you an idea of what's encompassed in our definition of large commercial right now, we have the new Catholic Church rebuild with what they've changed. That moved it into large commercial. And that's, I could be not 100% accurate with this number, but I think it's 150 kW transformer. And lumped in with that is Silver Bay, which has 5.5 megs of potential power. They don't use that all the time and they don't use it year round, but that's the potential. So it's pretty widespread. So the first thing is defining some new things instead of just calling large commercial one thing it fits all. And I'm just using these words as placeholders, not what I'm going with. Large commercial, say giant and huge, and defining what those are, and then the process that they would get approval to connect. And the bigger they are would require more research and studies, and all this would be paid for by the person coming in. They would have to pay for the studies if they needed it. They're large commercial now, some of them, where that would just be, you know, they put in their application and they're approved. And then the next step is it requires some more, and then the biggest one is it require more. And the whole goal of this is not to stop growth or stop economic development, but to help control it and ensure that our current ratepayers don't pay more because of new people coming in. That's it in a nutshell. I mean, until I get it more defined, but it's a way to put guardrails on without limiting our growth now and our growth in the future. Right now we have Taiyi giving us 24 megawatts for wrangling us. In 10 years, maybe they're giving us 50 megawatts. So we don't want to put something in writing today that's going to handicap us and kneecap us in the future when we have some other opportunity.
Great. Thank you.
Member Martin?
Good. Is that something we could handle like a kind of like a conditional use permit is for zoning, where you just any large customer is negotiated, you know, in the light of day, so the public feels they have a say, I guess, in this, rather than trying to account for every contingency in an ordinance?
I don't believe our charter allows a lot of a leeway right now. So that would be something that would be built into this ordinance, some different rate structures and a guideline for agreements so that we wouldn't leave ourselves open for liability because we said no to Bob and yes to Jeff when they came in. It would give us a defined structure to say yes or no. And you all would be able to, when the ordinance is done, be able to see it and approve it then.
And just follow, how does that pertain to the hypothetical discussions with the data center? I got the understanding that there was a lot that could be written into that power sale agreement. Was that our discretion?
Well, there's some conditions that we can put in it, but we can't affect the rate of it. We, with our current charter says these are our rates. And to change them, we have to make a bunch of ordinance changes. And correct me if I'm wrong with that, Carl.
Carl, you're muted.
Sleep.
Yeah.
He went to sleep.
Sorry about that. Try to get my phone to act right. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, no, I think Steve answered the question very well. There are some things that we can add in, but there are some things that we can't change. And, you know, Steve's research and direction on this, on the ordinance that's being discussed, I think is a good one. And I think it does provide the borough with some guide rails and some protections for our existing customers. And from what we're hearing, that's what the public wants. And the utility agrees with that.
Other questions? For Carl or okay. I'm gonna move on to the last item here on the agenda. Assembly member comments. Does any assembly member have comments? Member Valentine.
Thank you. Yes. One last thing, everybody. After talking about this work session with the housing task force, I've thought about this a lot, and as a younger individual who recently bought a home, the biggest issue I feel for maybe my generation and a little younger is, yeah, we want a home, but I feel like maybe have like a task force for like a work task force. Like, how do we get people more money? How do we build more industry here? I think the housing comes kind of follows that. And if we already have three different, at least just right off the top of my head, three different housing stuff coming, So you know that's coming down the pipeline. And there, and when we did the 2018, I believe, the housing stuff, you know, it says all these people would like to buy these houses, but currently you look on properties, they're not selling. There's plenty of houses for sale, and there's only going to be more. So maybe a better use of a workforce, I don't know how what you would call it, but it's like, how do you get more money to the people here? And like, how do you develop skills that the town wants? Can UAS or the University of Alaska expand their one of their units? Like, is there other ways to get a demographic of people more money to be able to afford some of the things? So maybe that was just the thing that was running through my head as we were talking about a housing task force. It's like, well, is housing the issue or is it workforce and money? And it feels like workforce and money seems to be a better use of my time.
Through the mayor, James, you said it earlier about, you know, how intimidating it is to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
I believe First Bank, although, you know, I could be wrong, has done seminars for people to go and here's go through the process. I don't know that those are well attended. You know, maybe
I've been to one.
Okay.
And there was two people.
Yeah.
Me and my wife.
I mean, I agree with you, by the way. Sometimes it's not about the job you have or it's about knowing how to work through the process. And, you know, maybe, you know, groups like First Bank, Wells Fargo, the credit union could do some more of those for people. I just thought, I mean, you know, trying to find better jobs, we all want to do that for the community. Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, it's a real tough one for the borough to be in the job. We're not trainers. It's not really our.
Yeah. But it was just a thought and a comment.
I know Rob was looking for more deckhands.
Well, it reminds me of that old commercial. Do you want to make more money? Sure. Mm-hmm. We all do. I can't remember the rest, but I remember that part.
Getting late.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say I saw just dozens and dozens of people working so hard over the festival, and hundreds of people having fun. It was just really neat to see. Thanks everybody for putting that on.
Other comments from the staff? Okay, I'll move on. Any recognitions?
Sig and Amber.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
And Brandy Tinas too.
Yes. She did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Yes. With that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.